As I read through the passages of scripture that we were given for today, there was a verse which stood out for me. In fact, it stood out so much that this week I decided I was just going to launch straight into it, rather than trying to set up some kind of introduction or make some distressingly weak joke, as I often do. Thank you, Stephanie. That's my one funny line. Make the most of it, folks. The second half of the opening verse from our reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Isaiah chapter 43, says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I've called you by name. You are mine." In many cultures, knowing someone's name is about having a connection with them, about maybe having influence over them. When, as a school chaplain, I was required to teach religious studies classes, you soon learned the name of the most challenging children, because you needed to be able to call them out. "Hey, Alphonse, put Tristan down." Yes, I did teach at very well-to-do and very unruly schools. No, they were just very well-heeled, actually. But this verse is of a different order entirely. It is about being known completely, and being loved. If we move on to verse 4 of that Isaiah 43, we read, "Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." That thought spoken to the people of Israel is a thought that is shared with us all as spiritual descendants. It is a word for all of us. Indeed, it is God's word to humankind. Indeed, to all creation. "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." This past week, I took part in a workshop which will be offered in the coming months in the wider diocese. It was about having brave and compassionate conversations, or more precisely, difficult conversations, and having them with compassion and courage. There was lots of good advice about how to deal with those who hold views different to our own, even disagreeable or hostile views. But the most striking piece of advice I found, and one which has been sitting in my mind and heart since Thursday, is, remember, you are a beloved child of God, and so is the other person with whom you're having this difficult conversation. I've been pondering this. The difference in the quality of conversation, in the quality of relationship that we would have with one another as human beings, especially those seeking to live life in spiritual community, if we really knew ourselves beloved and saw each person we encountered as absolutely beloved also. How different our encounters as community would be with those outside our doors if we engaged with all as beloved, valued, and precious. These thoughts were reinforced to me yesterday when I joined in something called the Super Trauma Conference, and I heard some words from Dr. Gabor Mate. Dr. Mate talks of 5 levels of compassion. Ordinary compassion, the compassion of knowledge, of wanting to know where the other person is. The compassion of empathy, of wanting to be alongside them in their feelings. The compassion of healing, of wanting to work with others in their own healing, particularly from trauma. And the compassion of truth, that absolute place of truth-telling. I may have misremembered the names of those, but all of them lead to one thing: seeing the value and humanity in all whom we meet, including those struggling with their trauma, those who are seeking escape from their feelings of pain or inadequacy, those who use drugs or alcohol or sex or even violence to numb themselves to the way they truly feel. In the end, says Mate, they are just dealing with the same feelings of inadequacy, the need for love, and the sense of failure that I have. And that should inform the way that we see and respond to one another. How does this, you might ask, relate to this Sunday? This Sunday where we remember the baptism of Jesus, and the Sunday when we are gathered and led by our new priest, our sister Stephanie. I think it relates very directly to the scripture readings we heard, to the celebration of the baptism of Jesus, and to our joy at Stephanie's priestly ministry. The calling of all of us who are welcomed into Christ's community, that community we call the church, and baptism is the symbol, the ritual at the heart of that welcome, is to know our belovedness and to be those who transform the world through love, whose relationships are transformed by the divine infusion of love, which is freely given to each of us and to the whole of creation. Our relationships within ourselves, our hearts and our minds, our relationships with one another, our relationships with other human beings, and even with the earth and its creatures, are all founded on this understanding of belovedness. It's easy to get caught up in today's gospel story, for instance, and there's been plenty of conversation about this. Why was Jesus baptized? Surely it's an image of being washed from sin or turning back to God, and surely Jesus didn't have to do that. There's plenty of people who have spilled and are spilling, and no doubt will spill, plenty of virtual and real ink on that discussion. But what I'd like us to get caught up in is an image that was brought to us by Archbishop Fred when he was primate, when he was making an observation on this biblical passage today. The most striking part of today's account of Jesus' baptism is the delight which is poured out by the voice of the divine. As they say, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Or in other translations, "In you I delight." Or even taking account of the Aramaic root of the story, "In you I find fulfillment." How about that for a foundation for ministry? How about that as a foundation for community? How about that as a foundation for being? Baptism is the greatest symbol of God's delight which the church can offer. It comes with no strings attached. It is not dependent on us feeling worthy of it. It is not something we pay for. It is not earned. It is not something we necessarily understand. We talk of baptism as the entry into the life of the church. No, it's a symbol of our entry into the life of the church. Our engagement with the life of the divine is based not on any ritual or act, or even on a sacrament. Our engagement with the life of God is a response to the love of God poured out on us. In the same way that the Spirit is not, I believe, in that story, even in that story in Acts, conferred to those who have hands laid on them, but is freely lavished, and I love that word, freely lavished upon all people straight from the heart of God. The laying on of hands in Acts chapter 8 that we heard about was a symbolic act of acknowledgement of the way in which the early church experienced this new life of the Spirit in a new and life-giving form. The passage from Isaiah tells us from the beginning, "You are loved, I have called you by name, you are mine." Stephanie has heard those words and responded to them with both humility and the enthusiasm and love which we've come to know by offering herself in service to the church as priest. Being a priest does not confer on her or any of us a status that elevates her above the rest of the church, but that puts herself in a new kind of loving relationship to the community she is called both to serve and to lead. The priest gathers us around Christ's table as a symbol of God's love, of welcome, of inclusion, of acceptance and affirmation. The saying of prayers on our behalves, the offering of bread and wine, the breaking and pouring out of the elements of the Eucharist, they are all acts of love, proclaiming the deep, deep love of God for all of us and for all of the world. Stephanie, beloved of God, will in a moment be reminding us of how we are all God's beloved, called to share transforming love with the world. It is a huge honor to be able to preach at Stephanie's first Eucharist, although admittedly I was the one that did the rosters. Just as it is a huge honor to continue to serve, to lead, and to love this community. May we each, ordained and lay, be reminders of the God who loves us, who finds us precious, and who honors us. The God who says to each of us and who says through us, you are my child, the beloved. In you I delight. Thanks be to God.